Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. As the vast majority of seniors express a desire and intention for aging in place, a number of innovative models have appeared in recent years. Today's articles offer four different approaches, which represent simply renting a room, jointly purchasing a home with non-relatives, joining a co-housing community, or choosing a tiny house. They include from 55 plus, March-April 2018, should you consider having a housemate? AARP Bulletin's House Sharing for Boomer Women Who Would Rather Not Live Alone, publishing date was not included. AARP's February 2018, Co-Housing, a Growing Concept in Communal Living. And finally, Side Effects Public Media's March 1, 2018, Can Tiny Houses Help People Age in Place? Should you consider having a housemate? Having someone to share a home with has some great advantages and some disadvantages, by Deborah Jean Sargent. Perhaps your large home feels even larger now that the children are grown, or maybe you would like a means to earn passive income to enhance your retirement. Could your widowed mom enjoy some companionship, or maybe you would feel more at peace if your in-laws weren't by themselves so far from your home? Any of these scenarios could be a good reason to consider renting a room to a housemate. Whether through word of mouth or roommate matching websites, renting a room to a stranger when you're a 55-pluser isn't so strange anymore. Numerous people watched their retirement savings evaporate during the recession. Most older adults want to age in place. Renting a room provides companionship, savings on household expenses, and assistance with chores. Others rent space to save on their household expenses or to make commuting to a distant job easier. For Paul Smith, a 55-year-old Rochester man who manages residential properties, renting two rooms in his three-bedroom home makes perfect sense. His children have grown, and for the past 10 years, Smith has rented his extra two rooms to roommates. They share most of the house and have their bedrooms to themselves. You can feel good about helping someone else out so they're not paying full price for an apartment or a house, Smith said. He said that some people have asked him why he wants strangers living in his house. The father of three says that he's always had people living in his house. They'd eat up all my food and never pay a cent, he quipped about his children. Now that they've moved out, people live here who pay and don't eat my food. Most of his roommates last about 6 months to a year. One he's had for 3 years. Some hardly hang around the house. Others seem more homebodies and spend more time at Smith's house. Smith is so enthusiastic about the merits of home sharing that he said he'd forced his mother to acquire a roommate for her own safety. He solicited roommates and narrowed down the list through interviewing them and checking their backgrounds. His mother selected from a group of three and felt pleased with the arrangement once her first roommate moved in. She loved having a roommate, Smith said. They ate together, hung out together, and would go shopping together. She started eating right because at least one of them would be cooking. Smith encourages other older relatives and friends to rent out a room. Instead of paying someone to serve as a companion, a roommate brings revenue into the household and can help keep an eye on the elderly homeowner. Of course, if the roommate provides housekeeping beyond helping in the common areas or rides and other help, the homeowner can reduce the rate to compensate. He believes that his mother's roommates, she has had three total, helped increase his mother's lifespan and enjoyment of life during her final years. Mom had someone to talk with, Smith said. She felt more secure having someone in the house. It gave her great peace of mind and companionship. Smith said that selecting his roommates is similar to selecting a spouse, as far as checking for compatibility. He requires potential roommates to provide at least three references from previous landlords or roommates. He asks about issues they have. He scopes them out on Facebook, a tactic which he finds very revealing. He lets potential roomies know up front that he doesn't allow numerous vehicles, loud music after 9 p.m., drugs, smoking, children, or pets. He's dealt with chewing dogs and leaky aquariums before, so pets aren't even a negotiable item anymore. Smith wants roommates who work and can prove their income. They should clean up after themselves and leave common areas cleaner than when they found them. Pitching in with the vacuuming and dusting is also helpful. I insist upon a written lease, Smith said. Do not let anyone stay in your house without a lease. He said that he provides his own lease agreement, which is one that he downloaded from www.landlord.com, and doesn't use lease agreements that roommates provide, since they are often one-sided. Despite a few unpleasant experiences, Smith said that it's a ball to share his home. I enjoy it. I'll have more roommates. If I had a bigger house, I'd fill it up with more people. People renting part of their home with someone else must count on that money as taxable income. Shirley Malone, tax preparer and co-owner of Quincy Tax Service in Rochester, said that since it's not earned income, homeowners won't need to report it for quarterly taxes, but will have to report it in April. You can also factor in part of the expenses of the home for that purpose, Malone said. Sometimes the expenses end up being more than the income, which is kind of a subjective thing. For an elderly person who simply needs a companion, offsetting the income by hiring workers to perform home repairs and upgrades may prove a means to maintain the home and keep a companion. It's important to discuss tax implications with a qualified tax preparer, though. Going on now to AARP Bulletin and Sally Abrams, house sharing for boomer women who would rather not live alone. The time was right for the 350-something women to pool their resources and buy a house together. Louise McInnes, a clinical psychologist, was ready to move out of her house now that her children were grown. Jean McQuillan, a case management nurse, had just moved into a rental apartment from the home she had shared with her then-husband. Karen Bush's job as a corporate consultant required her to travel often, which meant making arrangements for her cat and fish and returning to an empty house. For the women, buying a home to share made sense, said McInnes. There's every advantage to be gained from it. The house-sharing trend. Other older singles seem to agree. Increasingly, female boomers and older women, both bosom buddies and strangers, are moving in together as a way to save money and form a community. Online home sharing websites, workshops, and meetings for prospective housemates are booming. One such event recently occurred in Sarasota, Florida, where people in the city's Living in Community Network met potential housemates. At the online service Let's Share Housing, based in Portland, Oregon, which provides a list of people who want to live in shared housing and homeowners who want to share, 80% of the clients are boomer women. 55% of the women enrolled at the Vermont-based in-person matching service, Home Share Now, are over age 50. Online interest in the programs has doubled since 2007, likely due, in part, to many more people who have never been married enrolling. Conditions are ripe to make home sharing an option for many women. 4 million women age 50-plus live in the U.S. households with at least 2 women 50-plus, a statistic that is expected to rise. According to the National Center for Family and Marriage Research, 1 out of 3 boomers will probably face old age without a spouse. Women, on average, live about 5 years longer than men. Adult children are often far away, and since 1990, the overall divorce rate for 50-plus demographic has doubled. Add the recession, rising health care and housing costs, and longer lives to the reasons for shared housing popularity, my hunch is that money will be the incentive to get over the fear of, me? Live with a stranger? Never, said Anna Marie Pluhar, a house-sharing consultant and author of Sharing Housing, a guidebook for finding and keeping good housemates. But it's also having someone say, how was your day? and having a social connection that feeds the soul. Few could deny that there are emotional and physical benefits from friendship and social engagement, and research supports this. In a home share, the residents can also split household chores, feel safer with more people around, and grow older at home without feeling isolated. The logistics. After conferring with attorneys, accountants, and financial planners, McQuillan, McInnes, and Bush took out a three-way mortgage on a brick five-bedroom, $395,000 colonial in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh. McQuillan has the third-floor bedroom, bathroom, and office. Bush, a second-floor bedroom and private bath that adjoins her office. And McInnes has the master suite. Every month, the women deposit the same amount into their joint checking account to pay for utilities, property taxes, and repairs. They each contribute a $100 gift card with which they buy and share groceries. If someone entertains family or friends, she pays separately, and they occasionally eat together. They have house rules, including no overnight guests for more than 7 consecutive nights, with built-in flexibility. It's like living with two wonderful sisters, says Bush, 65. The three have co-authored a book titled My House, Our House, Living Far Better for Far Less in a Cooperative Household. Another home sharer, Mary Ann Kilkenny, 63, not only owns a house sharing coaching business in Asheville, North Carolina, and gives workshops. One is called Women Living in Community, From Dreaming to Doing, but lives with three other women ages 48 to 69. Two are divorced, another never married. Each has her own bedroom and bathroom, but Kilkenny pays the most, $900 a month, including utilities, because she has the in-law apartment with a separate kitchen. The other rents range from $550 to $650. They share living areas, including screened-in back porch where they eat together in good weather. The women have a meal together at least once a week, as well as a weekly meeting. There are rules such as hours when they can't do laundry or must be quiet in the halls. Everyone must be notified before guests such as boyfriends or children visit. Lorraine Chambers, 69, one of Kilkenny's housemates, Chambers' son, Jason, is a college dean and father of young children, and he lives more than 2 hours away. It's comforting to know Mom is in a safe neighborhood with people who generally care about her, says he, and it's the leveraging of each other's financial resources that makes it possible for her to share such a nice place. When Kilkenny first moved in at night 2 years ago, someone left the light on for her. I was so moved, she said. It's the little things that mean so much. On her 62nd birthday, her housemates left cards outside her door. Feeling cared about is worth going through some of the conflict that will occur, she said. Some drawbacks. Not having your own place can also involve compromise. Sharing means less privacy and dealing with someone else's habits. Experts say problems usually occur when areas of conflict, household chores, communal property, pets, cleanliness, temperature of the house, noise, guests, haven't been addressed before the move in or within the first 2 weeks. They also happen when expectations are unclear or there is no home-sharing agreement. Zoe Morrison, 55, of Portland, Oregon, who runs the house-sharing service Let's Share Housing, is divorced and has grown children. She has lived in cooperative households 6 times. One time, she called it quits when her new housemate's lover moved in unannounced. Another time, the bills turned out to be higher than she had been told. McQuillan, McInnes, and Bush say that if they lived alone, they'd have their parents, children, and grandchildren over more often. Living with anyone has trade-offs, said McInnes, but I'm willing to make little trade-offs and have a little less freedom. But as they get older, the three women realize that what they used to call the old biddies commune can't be their home forever. When they bought the house, they were in their 50s and weren't thinking about health issues. Now, McQuillan has a knee problem and lives up two flights of winding stairs. McInnes says her next place will be more accessible for older people, and Bush thinks she might prefer to live in a warmer climate. They'll worry about that later, say these converts, though, and remain right where they are. Says McInnes, this is the best way I have ever lived. Well, they have for some ideas what to look for in a housemate. Ask yourself, does she meet your requirements about what you must have in a housemate? Examples: a productive life, considerate and flexible, good values, a realistic vision of what living together entails, common expectations about the arrangement. What are the deal breakers for you? A boyfriend who will be sleeping over a lot? A pet? Someone who is messy or doesn't have boundaries? Something else? Is she financially stable? What do her references say? If she's home shared before, what do her housemates think of her? Get at least two references, ask about her strengths and weaknesses, and if there's anything else you should know. Lastly, have you done an internet search on her name to learn more about her? And, if necessary, have an exit strategy just in case. And now going on to Rhonda Kaysen, AARP, February 2018, Co-Housing, a Growing Concept in Communal Living. The original co-housing members invested their savings to buy and develop the Oak Creek community. Move into a neighborhood and there are bound to be growing pains. Build that neighborhood from the ground up around a vision of collective living and the list of surprises can run long. Oak Creek Community opened about 5 years ago in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Most of the original 12 residents, or members, were not friends. In fact, many barely knew each other. But they wanted to find a way to retire comfortably in a college town about an hour from Oklahoma City and not fall into the trap of loneliness and isolation. Just the thought of my kids putting me somewhere makes the hair on my neck just stand right up, said Pat Darlington, a 66-year-old psychologist and the galvanizing force behind the community. Soon after she learned about the concept of co-housing, a planned community that residents run together, a friend suggested she reach out to Kay Stewart, another Oak Creek resident who at the time ran a home health care business. Stewart had spent her career dealing with aging and the social, moral, and emotional support that such a close-knit neighborhood seemed to promise instantly struck a chord. I recognized right away that the feeling of community was the piece I've been missing all these years, said Stewart. The project was a leap of faith. If it succeeded, it would become the first co-housing community in Oklahoma. The original members invested their savings, hired architect McCammett and Durrett of Nevada City, California, and bought a 7.5-acre wooded site with a creek, hence the name. The plot was near restaurants, shops, walking paths, and Oklahoma State University sports venues. Shovels hit the ground for the $5 million development in January 2012. And by that October, the first residents moved in, selling their large suburban homes to buy Oak Creek's much smaller ones. All of the homes were occupied by March 2013. Although the first co-housing community built in the U.S. opened in 1991 in Davis, California, the concept is still rare here, with just 169 such communities in the country, including 15 exclusively for seniors, according to the Co-Housing Association of the United States. The practice is far more common in Europe, particularly in Denmark, where it began. Co-housing is no hippie commune. No need to pull out that patchouli or tie-dye that you stashed away from after the summer of love, but it does share some collective principles. Neighbors are expected to pitch in, not only to maintain the common areas, but also to help each other out with life's challenges. Unlike in a commune, you own your own home and can shut the door whenever you want. Much like a condominium, Oak Creek has common areas, and residents pay a homeowner association fee of $297 a month. The modest one- or two-bedroom single-story homes have wraparound porches and are arranged in pods of eight, with walking paths connecting them and a 3,800-square-foot common house. Oak Creek residents keep the ships moving at the 24-unit complex. Rather than vote, they must reach a consensus on issues such as utilities, maintenance, and social activities. They are also expected to attend meetings and join at least two working teams. "I didn't enjoy the meetings in the beginning, but I do now," said Ann Collin, 68, who moved into Oak Creek in May of 2013. "The whole point is listening." But the biggest benefit is the social one. When a neighbor fell ill late last year, residents rallied to his side, bringing him meals and buying his groceries. His death in early January hit the community hard, but also reminded residents that they can lean on each other until the end. "If I need to go to a doctor, there's somebody that can take me if I can't drive myself," said Karma Boyer, an accountant who moved into a one-bedroom in October 2013, 4 years after her husband's death. "It's wonderful. You don't have to go looking for your family." Interest in co-housing is on the rise, particularly among boomers. It seems to be the senior population that's really like, "Hey, this is a good idea," said Karen Hosken, executive director of the Co-Housing Association of the United States, adding that 15 new senior co-housing communities are being planned across the country. At Oak Creek, life centers on the Common House, where you can drop by for a coffee hour or come out for BYOD, bring your own dinner night. Every 5 nights, the community assembles for a group meal. Everyone is expected to sign up for cooking duties, a chore that initially took some prodding as, well, not everyone seemed happy to don an apron and cook for a party of 31. In many ways, co-housing works only as well as its members. Anyone age 55 and older can buy a home, and no one can force you to show up for the meetings or dinner. Miss a few meetings, and no one will force you from your home, but you just might not be happy there. "We had two or three people who moved in who didn't get it. They didn't fit," Stewart said. One woman, for example, never came to community meals and did not participate in meetings or activities. Eventually, she sold her house and moved. To avoid such a bad fit, the community tries to educate prospective buyers who have come from as far away as California by explaining the concept and inviting them to attend gatherings. There's a team to handle that. 5 years in, residents have built an extended family where neighbors know the names of each other's grandchildren and go to sports events together. "It's beginning to look very much like my family," Stewart said. "We've turned a really significant corner." And now, can tiny houses help people age in place? A university partners with a noted geriatrician to explore the idea, by Samantha Horton, March 2018. A tiny house and a big idea are coming to the University of Southern Indiana, USI. The university announced it's building a small modular home to demonstrate how the tiny housing model could make independent living accessible for people of all ages and abilities. The university plans to build the house on its Evansville campus. It's part of a larger effort aimed at creating a cultural transformation related to aging in community, according to a university press release. To make the $75,000 home, the university is partnering with Dr. Bill Thomas, a geriatrician, national expert on aging, and one of Next Avenue's influencers in aging. Thomas worked with the architect to create models for so-called Minka homes, compact, inexpensive houses with interchangeable parts that are designed to be user-friendly for older adults or those living with disabilities. The Minka is an example of architecture and technology that can help you be independent for longer. That enhanced independence is an important way of addressing ageism, Thomas said. Advantages of tiny houses for older adults. The home's small size is a selling point for older people who might not be able to maintain their larger home as they age. For older people, sustaining a big, unwieldy house can be the thing that tips the scale from independence to dependence, a blog post on Thomas's website says. The USI demonstration will showcase how the Minka model can be adapted to meet the needs of different ages and abilities, said the university's press release. USI College of Nursing and Health Professions Dean Ann White said that although no one will permanently live in the new house, the model will allow people of all ages to learn from each other and contribute to a functional model in the future. The model home is one part of a first-year pilot exploring models that bring older and younger people together. The project aims to transform aging stereotypes, said White. We are very interested in having students involved because I think they have a lot of preconceived notions about elders and about those individuals that are aging, she added. All ages live together. Ultimately, Thomas said he'd like to see a pod-like village of Minkas spring up that has older people living within the community, not sequestered away in nursing homes. People have been living in multi-generational groups throughout history, but Thomas says that after doing a deep dive, he has been unable to find any university in the United States that has made the simple leap saying that people of different ages need to be together. The project will construct Thomas's second Minka house. His daughter, who is disabled, lives in the first one in New York City. The pilot project is funded by the university, the USI Foundation, AARP, and AARP Indiana. The story was produced by Side Effects Public Media. Well, those are all interesting options to be sure. Something for almost everyone, with advantages and disadvantages to each. Having acquired enough to more than fill my 1830 renovated farmhouse, the thought of downsizing to a tiny house is daunting, yet somehow quite appealing to me in the early years of my eighth decade. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.